Welcome to the Hometown Foods Let's Talk Guthrie County. I'm your host, Marcus Mackey. Joining us today for part two of our two-part series is Iowa House Representative for District 23, Ray Sorensen. All right, so a little bit of work on quite a few things. You mentioned the Iowa Youth Congress bill. Can you go into a little more detail on that one?
So it's a real simple bill. It basically just grants a position on the school board to a student, and it would be a non-voting position. And of course, non-voting member wouldn't be able to attend special meetings or meetings that would involve like disciplinary action to administrators or teachers or anything like that. But you know, it's often been said, you know, like a lot of what the school board decides at these meetings, you know, directly affects these students, and they don't have an official seat at the table. Well, you know, of course, you know, there are public meetings that anyone can attend, but it's been something that the Iowa Youth Congress has brought up for many years and in different versions and different ways. And I just see it as a tip of a hat, a sign of respect, a kind of a bridge building, you know, like, you know, we see you young adults as someone to be respected and know, and honestly have just a straight line of what's going on in the high school, a representative of sorts that can say, you know, this is how we see it as students, as what's happening. You know, a lot of school board members, you know, don't walk the halls at least regularly, and don't full well know or have a pulse of what's going on. So I think it would be a valuable piece, but you know, it's one of those things that it wasn't a partisan vote. Like if we had multiple Republicans and Democrats for it and a good chunk against it. And so it was, it's one of those that's not fully agreed upon, but I know if we could get that shall language probably more clarified, I think we'd get a lot more people on board, including the School Board Association. But they just get weird when, you know, they see it as a mandate and, you know, forcing them to put a student in a position that they, you know, some districts may not want to participate. But again, I think it's ultimately a good bill. And I think if you visited with students about it, I think they would think it's a very good bill as well.
So just a kind of a way to make sure that while yes, they can go and voice opinions now, this would kind of be a little bit of a make sure that students can be there, they can say their piece too.
Yeah, it's just giving that official position, you know, and like I said, kind of a bridge building or a sign of respect to, you know, a representative from that student body that would be there to, you know, be like, hey, this is what's happening in the halls. This is what's being said. I think it would be a very valuable member of the school board to those elected, you know, just have that, oh, you know, we can turn to the student that's here that, you know, that's applied to be here, that wants to be here, that's, you know, here in a representative capacity, like, you know, what's going on with this specific issue or these issues. But, you know, some schools are already doing it in a capacity. And, you know, I want to make sure and allow freedom to do, you know, to have this type of representation in the way that works best for each school district, because, you know, each school district across the state of Iowa is different and has their own needs and availabilities and things like that. So you just got to, you know, remain open to changes to the bill as it moves forward.
Okay. And then you had also talked about that teacher empowerment bill as well. And of course, as you said, not finalized. There's going to be some more work done to it. What's kind of the final view that you'd like to see for it?
Well, you know, ultimately, I worry for our teachers in some of these classrooms. And there, one of the things that's been happening is, you know, if there's violence in the classroom, or let's say, you know, a teacher's even beat up or struck or hit, or, you know, maybe it's both the teacher and the, you know, whatever your scenario is, there's violence in the classroom. They've often even been encouraged to cover it up by the administration, because then it becomes kind of a black mark on the school's record, you know, that there was violence in the classroom. And so, you know, when teachers are being encouraged to cover it up or, you know, hush some of these things down, then we can't solve some of the problems, you know, that may be going on in schools, you know, and get a handle on some of this violence. So we need kind of a transparency. We need to be able to back teachers up and say, hey, you can be a whistleblower. You can report this. You know, we're not going to hold the whole school accountable for this. We're going to try and get at, you know, who are these violent and disruptive kids, and can we get them the help that they need? Can we properly remove them from the classroom in order to get them the help they need and continue on with reading, writing, and arithmetic and get back to what we're to be in school for, not have to shut down a classroom every day because the same violent kid is doing the same things over and over and over, and there's no fix because we don't want to, you know, ring the bells for anything because we want our school to continue to have a squeaky clean record. And so I think that's ultimately what it's trying to get at.
All right. And then, as you said, working towards the second funnel now, after the end of today, yep. What are some of the requirements going into that second funnel to keep bills going through?
So all the bills that have made it out of our end and vice versa, they have to go through the subcommittee meeting version of it in the opposite chamber. And so by the time that second funnel comes, those bills have to have made it past at least the committee level of the opposite chamber in order to stay alive. So it's the same process. It's just now it's got to, you know, come across to the other chamber, and it just continues to whittle it down. We have thousands of bills that are drafted, you know, at the beginning of each session, and even during, you know, as session goes, those first couple months, even more drafted and more drafted. And so it's just a way to continue to funnel it down into a manageable amount of work to get to the governor's desk.
So basically just kind of a swapping of legislation, yep, going through. House bills go over to the Senate. Senate swaps over to the House.
Yep. You got it.
All right. And that just goes through the same committees that it would have been on the opposite side then?
Sometimes. It kind of, it depends. We don't have, our committees don't match up exactly. So something that, like, for instance, I ran a bill that dealt with SAVE, which is an education funding piece, but it dealt with cybersecurity. Our leadership knew that I served on education, and they know that I also chair the technology committee. So they saw, you know what, that can run through economic growth and technology, but it could have ran through education. So it's more of a leadership where they see the bill fits best. State government is one of those committees that's a catch-all. So state government, you know, will tend to take on bills that, you know, you're like, gosh, this doesn't make sense in local government. This doesn't make sense in agriculture. This doesn't make sense anywhere. Well, state government. So, you know, just that's how that process goes. And so as it flips over to the other side, you know, that leadership team has that same decision and decisions to make on some of those bills. So, you know, something that went through education on one side may come through, you know, a different committee on the other side, you know, just depends.
All right. Is there anything I didn't ask you about that you kind of want to go over and make sure it's covered?
No, I think that's about it. Like, you know, we covered second funnel, and then, you know, of course, after second funnel, everybody's just going to the focus will start on getting through the bills that made it past first and second funnel, and then of course appropriations and ways and means issues. So that's what will ultimately end session.
All right. Thank you very much, Ray.
Yeah, no problem. Good to talk to you.
That was today's Hometown Foods. Let's Talk Guthrie County. Discover today the many advantages of shopping with your hometown team. Hometown Foods in Guthrie Center, Panora, and Stewart. If you missed any of today's program, you can find a recording of it online at raccoonvalleyradio.com under the podcast tab.